The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos.
Morning, John.
Good morning, Otto. And just before we get to our first guest, I just want to briefly tell everybody about Project Independence. And it's the Town of North Hempstead's initiative to help seniors age in place. And the most important thing to remember is 311. Call 311. Basically 24/7 for any problem you have, because we have partnerships throughout the town with literally hundreds of organizations. We have transportation, we have food, we have social workers, doctor visits, you name it, it will be provided. And one of the main things of Project Independence is this radio show, which brings in information to our seniors and to the town. This morning we have one of our most exciting guests. We have Lydia Bastianic, who is an Emmy Award-winning public television host, a cookbook author, a restaurant owner, and I know her from the TV, because I've watched her cooking for years with her family and everything. Good morning, Lydia.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I have one question to start, and I have followed you. I live in Great Neck, so I even know that you're a neighbor in Douglaston. I do not know how this began for you.
Well, you know, it all began by history. I was born in Istria. Istria was Italy. After World War II, it was given to communist Yugoslavia. We were behind the Iron Curtain. We escaped back into Italy. And in Italy, we waited a while for an opportunity to migrate. And after 2 years in 1958, Dwight Eisenhower was the president. He opened the immigration, and we came here as immigrants. So I was 12 years old. My life, you know, my sort of the initial of my life was always around food, with grandma, with animals, milking goats, growing vegetables and all that. So as I went along, I found food to be kind of my go-to connection to my past. And still to this day, I love cooking and I love communicating with food.
Yeah, Lydia, this is Otto Loos. Looking up your information for the show, you spent several years in a refugee camp, which is kind of timely in this world today. And I was just wondering if you ever, did you have any visions or dreams about what you might be doing someday? You know, in an environment that probably wasn't, you weren't eating top shelf food there, I don't think.
No, you know, I never thought at that time, at least, to really make food my life, my career. When we were 2 years in a refugee camp, it was a dreary time. You know, food was minimal. We were online for food, and so food kind of followed the growing of food, the lack of food, and then ultimately, you know, having this great opportunity where food was available and opportunities were available in America, kind of brought me to that. But again, I think that my passion for food came actually because I didn't want to kind of forget my memories that I had in Italy with grandma and all of that, and I carried that with me. And cooking the food brought all those flavors, those aromas with me, and the memories. And then what I found out was that, you know, I was pretty good at cooking. People liked it, and it reinforced my kind of going forward with food, and ultimately my career in food.
Well, you've had quite a career. I'm sure you've never visualized. I'm curious about something. You've won many awards. You've been involved with restaurants, children's books, cookbooks, website, YouTube, blog, winery, entertainment company, and so on and so forth. How do you find the time to do all these things? I'm always intrigued by people who are able to accomplish so many things in the same amount of time that all the rest of us have. So, but somehow you manage to make use of that time a little bit better than the rest of us. How just give us a little thinking of how your mind might work with these types of things.
I think it's, you know, it's passion, it's dedication, it's a lot of hard work, and it's, you know, kind of looking at the opportunities as they come. You know, here, you know, as an immigrant, you have nothing. We came to the United States, we had nothing. We didn't have relatives. The Catholic Relief Services and the Red Cross brought us here. And so for me, I think that every little opportunity, I didn't let it go by because I said, my God, I can do this. I can do that. You know, I'm free. This is, you know, I have a home here now. You know, I can put my roots now. So I think it's all about kind of looking back and all the things that you were not allowed or you didn't have the opportunity. And here, the door opens to America and gives you all kinds of opportunities. And I just, you know, just kept on taking them. You know, of course, we did it as a family. It's not a solitary journey. My mother, my father, then I met my husband who was in the restaurant industry, and that kind of propelled me in that direction. I think, you know, when you have nothing and when you barely have food, you don't let an opportunity go by. You just make it happen. You roll up your sleeve and make it happen.
Out of adversity comes strength. You know, the difficulties that you went through probably really made you appreciate the opportunities when they did come. And clearly you've taken advantage of them in a great way.
Well, yes, thank you. And then, you know, I shared it ultimately in My American Dream, my memoir, which just came out. So, you know, besides being a chef and writing cookbooks, I have 12 cookbooks, the time came around that I wanted to put down my trip as an immigrant, the opportunities and the great opportunities that we have in coming to America and work giving. And, you know, my story is a good story. It ends good.
Absolutely. Actually, the one thing about your story which people have to take away from it, and you mentioned the word before, which is so true, two words, passion and family. And again, I've watched your TV shows. It comes out when you're just talking about the food, when you're referencing something. I mean, it all is together. And I think cooking is a very important part of life, obviously, and so is eating. But you have transitioned it into being part of your personality, and that's what Lydia is. And that memoir is going to be tremendous for people to read because, right, you came from nothing and you're proof that if you do something, if you follow your dream, but you do it with passion. People have dreams, but they don't put their heart and soul into it. And then they turn around later in life and say, oh, this didn't work out for me. You made it work because you have to make it work for yourself.
And I continue, and a lot of hard work. And, you know, you pointed it out, family. You know, as Italians, family is kind of the epicenter of the Italian culture. But for me, it was extra because, you know, the trips that we did, being in the camp, we were just with the family, coming to America, just the four of us, you know, my brother, my mother, and my father. And so family is really the tightness of family. Sitting down at the table was so important to me. It made me feel secure. And, you know, I continue that with my children, with my grandchildren, and telling them how important it is to keep family together, to respect family, and how important it is to have a meal together, to break bread, because very special things happen at the table when you share food. That's the basis of life, the value of keeping us alive. And there, you know, a lot of emotions come out and ideas. So the table is a very special. So at the end of my show, my PBS cooking show, when I say tutti a tavola a mangiare, I mean everybody to the table and let's eat together.
You know, it's my father and mother. I'm first generation. My parents came over from Germany in the late 1920s, and I can relate to the immigrant part of it. And I do remember my mother was a great cook. Obviously, she didn't cook Italian food, but she was an excellent cook. And she would think nothing of having 20, 30 people to the house. And we always had a great time and many, many wonderful memories. And the food does etch into your head and heart that the gathering of people eating food is like, it's more than just the food. It's the whole camaraderie and the environment and the love that comes throughout that whole thing. You know, I've also had the exposure. My first wife, who's not with us anymore, was Italian, and she had an Aunt Jenny who cooked Italian food, not in your category, but she was pretty good. And that's where I learned about Christmas Eve with Italian dinners and all those good things. And I love every minute of it. So, you know, we really much respect your view of the importance of food. It seems like a lot less people cook in nowadays than did years ago. For the restaurant part of your business, that's good. But I believe people eat out more than they do in at the table. What's your perspective on that?
I think people are coming back. You know, I see they continue to buy my books, they watch television. I get a lot of emails, questions, you know, about cooking at home. How? I think that people really want to get back to nurture their family, to cook for their family, because, you know, feeding is caring, nurturing, and also, you know, health-wise. If you know what you're eating, you stand much better chances of being healthy and feeling well. So all this awareness on the quality of food, on local food, on seasonal food, it's really, there's a big comeback, and I love it, and I see it. And yes, there's time for restaurants. You know, we have the restaurants. But a lot of people are also cooking home.
The interesting thing, and I go along with both you guys in reference to cooking at home, is it brings about more sharing, in my mind. And actually, when I was going for my master's, which was interesting, my wife's Italian, I'm Irish, but when I was going for my master's, my final, I didn't do a thesis, I did a report called Mangia Memory. And actually, I sent out a questionnaire to like 50 people asking them to describe their favorite meal. And then I had questions about their parents and stuff. But once they described the meal, they opened up to everything. And I find that so true, that if you're sitting down relaxing with somebody and they say, how did you make the sauce? Did you put onions in there? Whatever. Next thing you know, they're sharing. And you can get something out. To me, it's a very non-intrusive way to get somebody to open up.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, at the table, when you're eating, when we are eating, that's almost kind of an animal act on our behalf. You know, we are eating like every other animal, and our defenses are down. You know, we need to eat. It's not something that we block unless you have some sort of a problem. But so opening up, your defenses are down. You are open to take in, to ingest this nourishment that will keep you alive and healthy, but as well, your emotions are open. So when people talk, when you talk about family happiness, when you talk about family problems, when you talk about world problems or whatever, at the table, the chances are that people will absorb and interact much greater than if you set up a meeting and say, let's talk about, with your teenagers about drugs or whatever. They clam up right away and are on the defensive. At the table, you are not defensive. That's why we have business dinners and lunches. That's why, you know, proposals at the table and special occasion at the table, because we are open to our emotions.
You know, it's not just at the table, if you think about it, too. It's like somebody gets up and helps clean the dishes or puts the dishes on the table or whatever. Everybody kind of is more engaged in the whole thing as opposed to going out, which I like to do also. But,
right, right.
You know, I've been to Becco, by the way, which I really liked multiple times. So we'll get free commercial for Becco.
Actually, you know what we're going to do, Lydia? Can I ask you to hold on? We have to take a commercial break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org.